Once again, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas to you and your loved ones. Joyful, blessed, and Merry Christmas. It's really a time for celebration. We lined the walk of the church with our luminaries, and it is the sixth Christmas that we have done so. It's amazing. We've done that since 2014. And it is the landing lights. You know what it's like. I just have to ask Don over there. He's a pilot, knows a lot about planes. And when you're on an approach, you see those lights. And those lights take you home. You see those lights outside our door tonight, and hopefully brought you home to a church that loves you, with a Savior that loves you, who gave himself for you. Merry Christmas indeed. We celebrate what the angel said. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. My friends, before the foundation of the world was laid, God planned that his Son would be the special sacrifice to pay the price for the sins of every person. The world needed to be rescued by a Savior. And God's only Son, Jesus of Nazareth, is that Savior. All the way back from Genesis chapter 3 with what we call the fall, and all throughout the Old Testament, prophecy after prophecy proclaimed that God's Messiah would come. He would be born and would live among us as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. From John chapter 1, verse 29. Before the world could have an Easter Sunday, there had to be a Christmas, the birth of the Messiah, the Christ. Now, sadly, the world absolutely is in love with the baby in the manger. Christmas cards, signs up, you see it. You go on Facebook, people are putting on the pictures of the baby in the manger. But the world has a really hard time accepting the man that that baby grew up to be and what he did for the world. My friends, humbly, he came. Mary and Joseph, they were just ordinary people, but they were chosen by God. Mary, to be the mother of God's Son. Think about this. For 9 months, she carried God in her womb. Wow. And Joseph, he was a carpenter, but he was chosen to be the one charged with taking care of both of them. Because of the census, they had to travel about 80 miles south to Bethlehem from their home in Nazareth, which is in the northwestern part of Israel. They had to walk, and we presume that there was the help of a donkey. It would have taken about 4 or 5 days to make that trek on foot. They made that journey with no comfortable accommodations, and they traveled slowly. Remember, Mary was in her 9th month, probably sleeping out underneath the stars. And then once they arrived at Bethlehem, there was the complication of finding a place to stay. On the night Jesus was born, it was a private celebration at first, just Mary and Joseph and the baby. And we believe the animals were there also. They knew from the messages from the angel that this baby was God's own Son, who is a miracle. Soon the angels spoke to shepherds and announced that a Savior had been born, who is Christ the Lord. The word Christ is a Greek word, Christos, which means anointed one or Messiah. The shepherds came running to see this new baby. When Micah, the Old Testament prophet, foretold the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, that little town of Bethlehem, he emphasized its simplicity and lack of significance to the world. He wrote, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Micah 5:2. I've reminded you many times through the years that Bethlehem is truly said Bet-Lechem. I'm not clearing my throat. Bet means house of. Lechem is bread. So Bethlehem is the house of bread. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, to satisfy the spiritual hunger of mankind. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." John 6:35. Now, bread is a good comparison to our Lord because he satisfies, gratifies, and strengthens us spiritually, just as bread does for us physically. But sadly, there are some who are not hungry for this bread, and they might even be described as eating at the wrong table. God said that through the prophet Isaiah, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare." Isaiah 55:2. There are a lot of things that bring us temporary happiness and temporary fulfillment. Believe me, only Jesus Christ satisfies the soul. Jesus Christ is all that a person needs for spiritual satisfaction, for spiritual completeness. God loves us enough to walk in our shoes as a human being and to draw us to himself in spite of all our faults and shortcomings. Throughout the Bible, God has spoken through his prophets and through situations that took place to alert the world how to recognize the Messiah when he comes. A perfect example of this is Genesis chapter 22, when Isaac, on the way up the Mount Moriah, he asks his father, he says, "Father, where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" Abraham's answer points right to Jesus when he says, "God himself will provide the lamb." The truth is that God himself is the lamb. Each year, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, celebrate when they are saved by the blood of the Lamb on that very first Passover, when they had taken the blood of a perfect lamb and put it on the doorposts of their house, on the outside, so that the angel of death would pass them by. That very first Passover, God's alerting his people that they will one day be saved by the blood of his very own Lamb, Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 16, the Israelites who were saved from bondage in Egypt were given bread from heaven. New each morning, they would find manna and collect it to be able to eat. And one day they would receive true bread from heaven in the person of Jesus Christ. God laid out the information pointing to the truth that we celebrate tonight, that he declared in John 1, verses 1 to 3 and verse 14. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." God himself took on flesh to save humanity, to save all of us from ourselves. Jesus Christ is the promise of God fulfilled, fulfilled by God himself, humbly. He came. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, to teach us that each one of us must choose him as Savior for ourselves. It has to be our own personal choice. No one can make that choice for you. If one person eats some food, it doesn't satisfy another person's hunger. If somebody has two glasses of wassail, one of those glasses just doesn't come over to me who didn't have any. It doesn't work that way. The Apostle Paul reminds us, because there's one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. 1 Corinthians 10:17. That one loaf is Jesus Christ. He's the only bread that offers life, and the decision to receive him is an individual and personal one. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This evening, we celebrate the birth of the baby, Jesus Christ, into the world as the promise of God. We also celebrate and give thanks for the grown-up Jesus who went to the cross so that his sacrifice would complete God's promise of our salvation so that we might live. Jesus Christ is indeed the bread of life because of what he's done for us. Baptized believers of Jesus will come forward in just a few minutes to receive the consecrated bread and wine as the real presence of Jesus Christ in Holy Communion, a most precious gift that he himself has given to us. One of my favorite verses in the Bible I want to share with you in closing tonight. It's from the book of Revelation. It gives us an amazing image of Jesus, our Savior, reaching out to each one of us, seeking a personal relationship with him. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus himself says this, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem so that he could come into our hearts and into our lives if we let him. He wants to feed us for all eternity, but we need to open that door, the door of our hearts. We need to invite him into our lives. And so, my friends, let today be the day that you fully welcome the King into your heart. He's standing at the door, and he's knocking. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.